Is a question and answer session given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on June 20th, 1999 in Atlanta, Georgia.
Brihaspati came down as the Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, but then when he came, he was with all the Mayavadis in Navadvipa, but he became preaching about the Mayavad. Then he went off to Jagannath Puri. He never taught Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was a child, a student in Navadvipa. Later, when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, he went to Jagannath Puri. Then he had an alteration with Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu broke his danda in three parts and threw it in the river at a danda banga. And there are many esoteric explanations about this, why he broke the danda. Some we may know, some we may not know. One of the ideas was that Lord Chaitanya, why he should have one danda, because one danda is for Mayavadis. He should have three dandi, which is for Vaishnavas. So he broke the one, danda means a stick, a sannyasi staff. He broke into three. The other, why he should carry a danda at all, because that's for human beings that have to do tapasya. Being that he's Supreme Lord, he doesn't really have to do all these things. Many things like that. So anyway, Lord Chaitanya overtly became very angry. You broke my danda. You have no right to do this. So I'm not going with you now. And he was very angry. He ran ahead. And they couldn't catch up with him. So he got to the Jagannath Puri temple first. When he saw Jagannath, he fainted in the temple. In ecstasy, when in trance. So the priest thought that maybe he was some crazy guy, they're going to kick him and beat him. But then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, seeing his physical signs, could recognize that he was not an ordinary person. And also saw that he wasn't breathing and nor was he having any heartbeat. So it was quite unusual. So he took him to his house. Then he tested and found that Lord Chaitanya was simply breathing. Very slightly, held a cotton swab by his nose and saw slightly the fibers were moving. But normally people cannot do that. Can any of you do that? So, then the devotees found the Lord Chaitanya and they said, we know how to revive him. He can only be revived by chanting. So then they began to chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You also need a paper? You want to write a question? So then, Lord Chaitanya revived, and the Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he said, I'd like to teach you. That you're a sannyasi in the Shankara line, he took sannyas and teach you the Bharati. Was in the Shankara lines, he said, I'd like to teach you. So, Vedanta Sutra. So, Lord Chaitanya said, all right, I'd be happy to learn Vedanta Sutra from you. You're early today. Yeah. They were mentioning, they said, Mahaguna wanted a question and answer session, and she's not here to ask that question. Welcome, welcome. Applause. Have a seat.
Really?
So then for 7 days, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya mind you, he's a Brihaspati. He's teaching Lord Chaitanya the Shankaracharya philosophy of Vedanta Sutra. He reads the Vedanta Sutra sloka, Janmadasi Gataha. But then which means that everything is coming from the Absolute Truth, but then he gives his own indirect interpretation. And the direct interpretation, since everything is coming from the Absolute Truth and everything has got varieties and qualities, therefore Absolute Truth must also have varieties and qualities. How can something come from nothing? How can the quality come from non-quality? So for 7 days, Lord Chaitanya just listened and he didn't say a word. He didn't ask a single question. Normally this very heavy, weighty discussion topic, you ask some questions, just like since already a few questions came, right? But he had no questions. So after 7 days, then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, how is it that you're just listening and you never have any questions? Are you able to understand what I'm speaking? And he said, I can understand the Vedanta Sutra that you speak, but I don't understand your explanation. So that was like throwing the gauntlet down. You know? I understand the Shastra, but your explanation is unintelligible. So then he said, so then you can explain. So then Lord Chaitanya took the Atma Rama verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Atma Rama Samunaya. And he explained that in 64 different ways and gave the essence of the Vedanta Sutra through this one verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it was such an erudite explanation that then Lord Chaitanya explained how the teachings of Shankaracharya are indirect and the Vedanta Sutra is directly, clearly understandable if you just take the direct meaning. And Srimad Bhagavatam is a natural explanation of the Vedanta Sutra. So in the end, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he had been told by his brother-in-law Gopinath Acharya, that Lord Chaitanya was the avatar of Krishna come as a bhakta. But he didn't believe it. But then things started to snap together, and then he started to pick up that Lord Chaitanya was more than what it appeared to be. So he asked him to reveal who he really was. And then Lord Chaitanya revealed his form as Krishna to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And then he also took a six-handed form showing himself as Krishna, Ram, and Lord Chaitanya combined in one. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya surrendered to him. And after that he became a very enthusiastic devotee. So before he was a really stiff upper lip kind of very impersonalist. You know about this, there's the smartas. Smartas, kind of a brahmanas who are very much conscious about rules and regulations. So he was in that line. So one day Lord Chaitanya, just to test him, he was late for Mangalarti. Don't feel bad, it happens to everybody. So then Lord Chaitanya came from the Mangalarti right into the room of, the bedroom of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Good morning, sunshine. Hare Krishna. How would you like Lord Chaitanya to come and ask you in this Mangalarti? Next day you'll be on time, right?
Yeah.
So, Lord Chaitanya said, look here, we got Mahaprasadam cashews from the Mangalarti offering. Here's some prasadam. So he's still sitting on his bed. He hadn't brushed his teeth. He hadn't done his morning duties, taken his bath and all the things you normally do. So a smarta would not eat food without having brushed the teeth and all these things. So Lord Chaitanya gave him prasad without having, he had no chance to do any of these things. But then he immediately ate the prasad. Then Lord Chaitanya said, how is it to being a brahmana, you're eating without having bathed and brushed your teeth? Then he quoted a sloka saying that whenever we get prasadam, there are no rules and regulations.
Evil.
Prasadam is Krishna and we should immediately accept. How many of you can follow that principle? Okay, very, so you're very, very advanced. You're willing to follow that, can follow that. But Balabhadra Prabhu, you could not follow this afternoon. After they had so much prasad, they offered more, he said no. They might have had one or two prasads, but it changed his mind. So like that, there's a lot of pastimes in Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He's the avatar of the Brihaspati. So he was made into a completely pure devotee by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime.
Wasp, and I just got stung today.
Pardon?
I got stung by a wasp and
I
was
playing my new hair. What is the difference between Brahmana and Vaishnava? Once Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was invited to speak at a big assembly of Brahmanas. He gave a big lecture on all the 12 qualities of the Brahmanas. Sama, Dhamma, Tatikshava, being equal, being controlled, being patient, being clean, religious, practicing religiosity, knowing religiosity, so on. So you have all the 12 qualities of the Brahmana. And then all the Brahmanas became very satisfied with this explanation. And afterwards he says that Vaishnava includes all these, but also the quality of pure devotion to Krishna. So Brahman, Brahmana means who knows Brahman. Brahman is the impersonal aspect of the Absolute Truth. That means the Brahmana should know what is the spiritual reality and what is the material reality. Side by side, we should know both. But the Vaishnava knows Krishna, which is more. Rasanaji. Aye.
What? Maybe everybody moves.
Everybody moves forward 1 meter. 3 feet and 2 inches. So, Vaishnava knows the three personality of God. Brahmanas may not know fully about the Krishna. Why we worship deities? Anybody can say why we worship deities?
So we can develop love for Krishna in his actual form. But for now we can't see him, so we can see him in the deities.
We cannot see his Satchidananda form. So we worship his deity form made in his image, yes? You raise your hand. Any other reason? It gives us an opportunity to perform various personal services to the Lord and thus develop further our personal relationship. Krishna comes and his deity is an avatar, archa-avatar. So by serving the Lord in his archa-avatar form, then we are able to come closer to him and develop our Krishna consciousness. It's one of the 9 processes of devotional service. Archana. Even though we may be in another form, or we know it's Prabhupada when we finally get back to Godhead. The things people worry about. He'll be wearing a name plate. Yes, you'll be able to recognize him. But forgive the question. How did you attain the state that you are in now? How can I possibly reach the state of being very close to God? whatever state I'm in.
Georgia.
It's all by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. You can also reach the, you can become close to God by being the mercy of Guru and Krishna. What is the difference between material and spiritual humility and tolerance? Why do you want to know the difference between the material and spiritual humility? You ask these questions.
To understand, like, how it looks like, you know, you can be like,
Which one you want to be?
Spiritual. But I want to know the difference because I'm
But isn't it enough to know what is spiritual humility and tolerance? What is material and what is spiritual? Yes?
The material is made out of matter which is in every minute that we take.
So an activity, what makes an activity spiritual or material?
If it's for pleasing Krishna or not.
Which is a person who dies for himself or just
So the purpose for which it is done, the purpose for which the activity is done, is what makes it the.
Should have sticky. I have so many such ice cream.
That it is done for just very beautiful.
So things are done for a material purpose. They're material. And if things are done for the Hare Krishna, he's talking. So if somebody's humble to please Krishna, then it's spiritual humility. Their tolerance to do their service for Krishna. If somebody is very tolerant, no matter how many times the temple president asks them to do some service, they tolerate it. They never do anything. They're very tolerant. They never get upset. They never do anything. They just tolerate. Is that tolerance? Is that spiritual tolerance?
I know. That you definitely want to accept the
ignorance or negligence.
So, tolerance means just like so the scientists, they work very hard, they tolerate so many difficulties to make their discoveries. Mahaguna works so hard to go to school. So many people go to school here. There's so many universities. So things are done for some material purpose. It's material. And if it's done for a spiritual purpose, this type of thing. So like the devotees, they're told that you're very great. But they always think, oh, this is just the mercy of Guru and Krishna. They always say personally that I have no personal qualification. No matter how many times we ask Prabhupada, what's your secret for success, he would say, I simply try to carry out the instructions of my spiritual master. Is that alright? Are you satisfied? What is the relationship between Krishna and Deva? Krishna is the original form of Vishnu. Vishnu is the source of all the devas. So all the devas are servitors of Krishna. So their relationship is one of master and servant. When the devas get in trouble, they pray to Krishna for protection. He bails them out. Many times it happens. If our body was created by Krishna, why if the body was created by Krishna? Say since our bodies were created by Krishna. Edit the question. And the senses are the body constitution. Why they are impure? Krishna is independent. We are part of Krishna. So Krishna has also given us independence. We can use our independence wisely in His service, and then we can be liberated.
Then the water will come to you.
Maybe it's the smoke is agitating.
There's also, I think, the
They're more now.
There's more of them.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, we can't even. I can't even listen to you because I'm worried about them singing.
I know. It's really helping. Yeah. Everybody's comfortable now?
Yeah.
You don't want to go. See those here? Because you're all sweet. The only thing that was attracted to me was wasps.
Because
our senses are created by Krishna, we should use them in Krishna's service. Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam Bhakti Uchite. Devotional service means to use our senses in the service of the master of the senses. When we don't use our senses in the Krishna service, then the senses become a cause of our bondage. And it's considered sinful. The senses, since they're made by Krishna, they're to be used for Krishna. Why? Senses in themselves are not pure or impure. It's how we use the senses. If we use the senses in Krishna service, they're purified. If we use them for sense gratification, then they become materially conditioned. So they are material senses, so their function is to experience, gather knowledge from the material nature. What we do with that knowledge, depending on our conditioning, is how determines what kind of reaction we get for our activities. Do we have to read all the books?
Yes.
Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita in this order. It's recommended by Prabhupada, read Bhagavad Gita first, then Srimad Bhagavatam, then Chaitanya Charitamrita. He said Bhagavad Gita is high school course, Srimad Bhagavatam is university undergraduate, and Chaitanya Charitamrita is postgraduate. At the same time, no hard and fast rule that somebody picks up another book that's not like a big operator. But as far as studying it, this is the recommended way because the philosophy in Bhagavad Gita is a little more simple than that which is in Srimad Bhagavatam. When you get to Chaitanya Charitamrita to really understand and appreciate what's going on, it would help if you had the knowledge that's in the Srimad Bhagavatam. You don't have a seat? Yeah, and some. Step over here. This is Mukundanda. When someone wants to be a good devotee, why Krishna or Yoga Maya has too much test in devotee got hard time? Have you ever experienced any hard time? Has this made you more determined to want to get back to Krishna?
Yeah, yeah.
So Maya's doing a good job? If we're very Krishna conscious, then the tests are not so difficult. Tests make us tough. What's that saying? When the going gets tough,
going.
The Pandavas.
No, I know.
There's three reasons why it happens. There's three reasons why we get put in trouble. That's just, you know, light talk. But let's get serious. Why do we get put into difficulties? It's a very nice explanation that we probably go in our research that he was telling. The Prabhupada said there's three different situations. Not if I can remember. When we are forgetting Krishna, so then sometimes we're put under a test in order to make us stronger. Sometimes Krishna puts a devotee under a test as an example to teach other devotees. It's like the Pandavas, maybe. They're put under test because it was an example for everyone. Someone else may be put under test because they have got some weaknesses. In order to help them to get purified from that, they need to go through some tests. And sometimes the devotees are not listening to the warnings of Krishna. They make mistakes. And Krishna warns them, but they don't listen, and so then he has to put them under some, let Maya give them some heavier test so that they can take like, reality check. So there are various reasons why. If we get too attached to the material world, then we may not want to leave it. So that way also, sometimes we're shown this naked truth of the material world. There are many factors. Many times we can look back and find the personal errors we've made that sometimes we're just getting the test because of reactions of things we have done in the past. That's another reason. How should we prepare for Y2K? What does that mean? Why to love Krishna? Well, that's it. You too love Krishna. You too love Krishna. I think we should prepare for love of Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna, eating Krishna Prasadam, and worshipping the deity. In India, they asked us about Y2K. We thought that it was probably more dangerous than Y2K is Pakistan. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the nuclear war, the weapons, they were attacking in Kargil and Kashmir. Everywhere there's some problem. If it's not a Y2K, it may also be an earthquake or maybe a hurricane. Or maybe something. In New York there was a blackout that time, people rioting and everything. Prabhupada said his father used to purchase food grains for the whole year. He would always have a year's stock of grains. I heard the Mormons do that also. A few other religious groups. Having a stock of grains for food seems to be a in any case, whether it's for you to love Krishna also or for whatever reason, since we're in the material world and you cannot depend upon the supermarkets all the time. That's the Prabhupada also wanted us to have farm projects in case the logistics broke down in the cities, devotees to go to the country and be able to survive. I don't know how many devotees have learned survival in the country. At least one. You know, that's probably the weakest part of our caring of all of our depression. But that was what... You're not going to say that it's sort of keep it closed, but you're not going to shoot. Otherwise, I just said that people ask me this question. I didn't want to just say, okay, when the year 2000 goes over, whatever happens, it doesn't happen. But then we should... can always be some problem. Maybe this or maybe that. Don't know how much effect there may be on that. They said by this time it's already almost August. They said by this time there should be a lot of disturbances already. So far we haven't seen so much. But there may be something. It would be a good idea to consider how we can be more self-sufficient, how we can use the current project we have, or some other discussion about moving it closer if it's too far. I always thought it wasn't so far because I'm used to going to Mayapur, but everybody else seems to think it's too far. So. Mainly have enough food to survive whatever happens. Be a wise idea without getting preoccupied by the whole thing. Since the biggest danger is the paranoia that people may get and everybody runs on the banks that runs on things, that's the bigger danger. Not the mob, you know, mob kind of reaction and paranoia. So that could happen for any number of reasons. Mayapur, we have set up a self-sufficiency department. We have a group of devotees, and we brought over one expert on self-sufficiency from Arizona, Caroline, 60-year-old lady, or 50, 60-year-old lady, who's pretty expert in these things. And she was teaching how to make paper, how to do many things ourselves that we didn't know how to do, so that in case there was a breakdown and for whatever reason, we would be more self-sufficient in our own. We already have our own hand loom. We can make our own cloth, Madrangas. Slowly. Maybe you have to stockpile a few saris or something.
You?
You can
stockpile a few, sir. You have to stockpile.
Maybe there's no shortage of stuff, but maybe I'm not focusing on the real problem. What attitude from the disciple is more pleasing to the spiritual master? Can someone ask that to Prabhupada here?
To Prabhupada, please, you love.
You love Krishna. The devotees are developing natural love for Krishna. Natural enthusiasm to serve Krishna. They have a very natural service attitude. It's usually very pleasing to Guru and Krishna. We have here, in the moment of death and when we leave our body, how does it look like when we go back to Godhead, which is first off? How does the soul actually transmigrate to the spiritual world? Well, how does the soul actually transmigrate in the material world? It's under Daivana Trena, it's under the higher authorities of the Devas, we're taken from one body to the next. We keep transmigrating from one body to the next in the material world. When we are qualified to go back to the spiritual world, then Krishna has got his personal tour guide to take us back. They're known as Vishnu Dutas. Just like you're coming into an unknown place, you get one escort. You're escorted back to the spiritual world. All the doors are open. You don't have to worry. In Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, what happened when Narada Muni left his body? He was a young boy, and he was a boy, and then he left his body. What happened? How did he transmigrate?
His boyhood, there was
And before that, what happened when he left his body? Right, it was just like a big lightning flash. Then he looked back and he saw his material body lying there. Outer body experience, the ultimate outer body experience. Death. But there was no pain, no suffering, no trauma of any sort. He had achieved the Satchit Ananda form. His self had expanded to its original spiritual form.